Our scripture reading this morning is from Genesis chapter 16. The angel of the Lord found Hagar near a spring in the desert. It was the spring beside the road to Shur. And he said, "Hagar, slave of Sarah, where have you come from and where are you going?" "I'm running away from my mistress Sarah," she answered. Then the angel of the Lord told her, "Go back to your mistress and submit to her." She gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her, "You are the God who sees me." For she said, "I've now seen the one who sees me."
She's crying in the desert. She's lost in her despair. She thinks nobody loves her. Hagar thinks God isn't there. Then he speaks in gentle whispers as he softly calls her name. She feels his arms enfold her as he holds her, and she'll never be the same. I'm the God who never changes, and my promises are true. And when the world deserts you, this is what I'll do.
Of Hagar, who found herself in the desert, a place of desolation, loneliness, scarcity, hopelessness, perhaps a place where a lot of us found ourselves in. Something happened to her. She had an encounter with God, and everything changed. So here's an invitation to spend some time with her story, and then discover yourself in her story, and then look at the encounter she had with God. And then perhaps just to discover the invitation to move towards an encounter with God. So there are three main characters in this drama. Abram. One day he looked up to the sky, saw the stars, and God told him, "This is what your descendants will look like. And someone amongst them will come and bless all the nations of the earth." It was a great promise to Abraham. And he must have felt, I've got security now. A lot of us means survival and a much better life. He only had one problem. His wife Sarah were barren. Now, can you imagine what it must have been like for her in that situation? I can't deliver. I can't live up to expectations. There's something wrong with me. What's going to happen to me if I'm not useful anymore? And can you imagine every month, Sarah, has anything happened? And no, nothing. You know, the disappointment. And perhaps Abraham, with good intentions, would tell her, "Sarah, don't worry. God told me you're going to have a son." And the pain, I can imagine, every time she heard that. Yes, you've heard from God. I haven't heard from God. You have the faith. I don't share that spirituality and that type of life you have. Doesn't help me. So what she decided to do is to go to Abraham and ask him, "Why don't you take Hagar, my slave, as a surrogate to produce a child for you?" And Abram decided to do that. Now, for a moment, can you think about Hagar's situation? She was an Egyptian, another culture. She was a woman. She had to obey. She was a slave. She had no choice. Now she's becoming a surrogate. You're going to carry a baby that you have no choice in with. And that child, don't bond with him. It's going to be taken away from you. It's not going to be your child. So she got pregnant. And the moment she got pregnant, her whole attitude changed towards Sarah. When Sarah asked her to wash the floor, she said, "No, I can't do that. I'm pregnant." Sarah said, "There's nothing. You're not sick. You can do it." She said, "No, you don't know what it's like to be pregnant. You will never know what it's like to be pregnant." She pushed all the buttons in Sarah's life. Sarah was furious. So she went to Abraham and said, "Look what you did." Abraham said, "It's not me. It wasn't my idea. It was your idea. Handle your problems yourself." So Sarah went back to Hagar and she abused Hagar. Hagar couldn't stand it. She took off to the desert. And that's how she ended up in the desert. So just for a moment, let's try and find ourselves in the story. Now, the first reaction I usually have in reading a story like this from the Old Testament is, but how can God allow something like that? Does God approve? Slavery. Sexism, you know, men are better than women and women are there to satisfy the needs of men. Racism, does God approve of it? You know, Hagar just have to give up her language, her faith, her customs and adopt because you're in a new world now. Why did Hagar suffer? Think about it for a moment. Where did this culture of racism, sexism, and classism comes from? God did not create it. Men did. And she was suffering because of this culture. And what we see in the story is that God does not condone it. In fact, we read how devastating polygamy can be. The complexity, the energy that's released. Look at the effect on Sarah, the effect that it had on Hagar, on Abraham, on their children. You see, we create a culture, and a culture ascribed value and roles to people. And that's why she's suffering. So the question is not so much, why do God allow it? But why do we allow things like that to happen? That's at the macro level. Now look at the effect of that culture on her personally. I have no value. It's inferiority. But suddenly, she changed and became superior to Sarah, who felt inferior. The pendulum swings from the one side to the other all the time, because my value is determined by what they think of me, what I can do, and suddenly, because I can do more, I'm worth more. And that's why I can look down on other people. It's the birthplace of anger and of violence. Because that's what happened to Sarah. When she felt, I'm nobody, everybody's looking down at me, they are abusing me, she got angry. So we can say today, thank God we're not living in a culture like that. But we've got a different culture, a secular, individualistic culture. So women would say, I'm not going to play the traditional role of the woman. I'm not there just to get children and to be a housewife and to look after the children. And I'm not there to do what my father, my mother wants me to do. And with the I'm not there to help to add value to the family. I want to be my own person. I want to do things that will make me happy. I'll choose a career. I'll become a career woman. But what do you do if you do that? You just changed the values. You change one culture for another culture. But the role of culture is still the same in your life. You will find your value in your work now. And we, an individualistic culture, can decide whatever we want to value. It can be the lifestyle. It can be our looks, whatever. It's where we find our worth. And that's when we're happy. But the problem is, the pendulum still swings. If I lose what I'm finding my value in, I'm worth nothing. And my future is bleak. We're still in the same boat. Can you feel and see yourself in the story of Hagar? Now what happened was, she discovered there's a God who sees. In this story, the angel of the Lord, let's say angel, is a messenger from God found her because he was seeking for her. We're introduced to a God who seeks us and finds us because he's got a desire to be with us, to share his life with us. We read that on the first pages of the Bible. When Adam lost paradise, God found him. God sought after him and God asked him, Adam, where are you? Because it's not over. I don't blame you. I don't say, well, it's your choice. You left paradise. You threw it all away. Live with it. Live with the consequences of your decisions. It's not over. I want to share my life with you. I want you to share your life with me. And I've got plans for this world. This is reality. This is how I operate. That's my decision. I can change everything in a moment, but I'm not going to. I want you to be my co-worker, creator. Let's make this world beautiful together. That's God's dream for us. And then he sees her. He seeks her. He sees her. What a tremendous need in every one of us to be seen. I remember years ago, took my son to his first athletic contest. And the moment they were gone out of the blocks, he looked up and he started looking around in my direction. And I realized he was trying to catch my eye. He wanted to know whether I was looking at him. He lost his way, ran right in front of the other children, was disqualified. But he was so happy, just ran to me and said, "So, what do you say?" Just looked at me. I said, "It's fantastic." But I realized that the need, the tremendous need to be seen. And then to have a positive reaction. "I like what I see, my son. It's, you're good." And then, "I'm there with you." That's actually what a blessing is. And oh, the pain in life if we don't receive it. And here she discovered that God sees her. And he said something to her. Well, first of all, he called out her name. I was so surprised. The other day I was in the mall and saw somebody very well known in society. He looked around, he saw me, and he came right up to me. And I said, "Johan." "So I'm so glad to meet you." And I said, "Where do you know me from? You know my name." He said, "Just, I see you on television. And I like what I see. I think you're doing a wonderful thing. And I just want to say, I'm there. If ever I can do something to help you and to support you, let me know. I would love to do it." And I walked away on the clouds. And when I reflect on this encounter, I just realized the deep need in me, in every one of us, to be seen. How wonderful it is to be seen and to hear your name. And to get to know somebody that get to know you. It's important. Now, what Hagar said was, the moment I heard the voice, I received the message, that moment I saw God. And isn't it like that? When you might not understand something and I try to explain it to you, and as I explain, you say, "Oh, now I see. Now I see." You don't really see. You've heard it. But no. I see it in my mind's eye now. And Hagar said, that is how I met God face to face. That's how I saw God. By receiving the message from God. So, how can we see God? Three important things. Three things that we can do, that we learn from this encounter. First of all, listen. Now, James, the brother of Jesus, says, be quick to listen. Be quick to listen. There is a messenger coming your way because God seeks you. And he sends a message your way. And you've got to be open. You've got to pay attention. And the main thing today that we've got to do is to pay attention to Scripture. God can speak in any way. I mean, he spoke in a dream to Jacob and a burning bush to Moses and through the visiting stranger in Abraham's life, through silence with Elijah. But primarily today is through Scripture. And that's what the apostles said. That's our Scripture, what they said, and we build on that. They say Jesus is gone now. But we've got the word and we can share that word with you. And the Holy Spirit will come and make it alive within you. Your heart will burn. You'll have a sensation on your inside. Be attentive to Scripture and to what's happening inside of you. And receive that word. Receive that word. I cannot help but think that this experience in the desert was a big aid in helping Hagar to listen and to pay attention. She was out of the tense situation she was in. She was in a place of silence all by herself, and suddenly the desert changed. It was a place of loneliness, and it became a place of solitude where she could be alone by herself with God, and she could hear. Then she had to receive that word. Now, James said, just after he said, listen, receive the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. Receive that word. It will change. It will save. It will bring to safety, to soundness, to healing your inner life, if you can hear and accept that word. To accept it means to, I value it. I just don't move on with life. I think about it. I value it. So the word that she received was, where are you coming from and where are you going? She thought it had to do with my location physically. And she told the messenger, I'm coming from Sarah. I don't know where I'm going. I'm just trying to get away from something. And then the angel did something very interesting. He said, that's not what I really want to ask. I'm asking you, where have you been? Where are you now in your life? How do you think about your future? I want to tell you, God has plans for your life. A big change. You're going to have a child. That child's going to bring forth a multitude of children. And you're going to be blessed. So what's happening here? The angel of the Lord are actually inviting her not to build a life around the culture she's in, about what my master say. That's what depends my life. You know, what they think, what I think of my life. I look at the possible. No. Think outside of the box. God has a plan for your life. Doesn't matter what the culture is you're in. Your value is not determined by what they think of you and what they say of you. Your value is determined by God. Can't you see God determined that you are here? And He has plans for you. Believe it. Believe it. Accept it. And that's what Paul encourages us to do in Galatians 4. He said, like Abraham in the situation with Hagar and with Sarah, believe God, believe. You cannot establish and do it by yourself. It can only happen through a miracle, and a miracle happened. You don't have to do anything. Just accept it. This is how God looks at you. She hears it. She accepts it. And something on her inside changed. And suddenly she's free. She's delivered from an up and down life. You know, she's delivered from violence on her inside and the anger that she's walking around with. Because I live from another place, another word. Everything changed. But in a sense, nothing changed. She's still a slave. She's still a woman. She's still from Egypt in a strange land. She's still an alien. And now the word is to go back. She had to do something now. That's very difficult for her. And that's why James says, if you've heard the word, you've accepted the word, you've got to do something. Now, this was not a demand to go back to be abused. The command was not to escape your circumstances. And it's strange, you know, that we would like our circumstances, the outside should change. Then our inside will change. That's how we think. That's why we fight. For the best outside, the best system, the best culture, everything that we, because then my life would be perfect. And God has other ideas. God said, no, change the inside. And that's what Jesus said. If you clean the inside, and if the inside is changed, your heart, the outside will change. Listen, don't we know it by now? The law can change, but the law does not change a heart. We can have a law against racism, but it doesn't mean that I suddenly feel different about other cultures. It doesn't mean that I suddenly feel that the other culture is not inferior to mine, and mine is better, and I'm the right one, and the other culture is a threat to my life. It doesn't necessarily change my inside. So that's the first thing. The other thing that God says by doing this is that you have a choice. You can go back or you don't have to go back. You can take away a lot of my life, but my freedom to choose cannot be taken away. Now I have the choice. I'm going to submit myself. I'm free. I can now serve you, but I don't serve you to get my value. I don't serve you because my life depends and my joy depends on it anymore. I don't have fear anymore of what you will think of me. I don't have a fear that I'm not perfect and I'm not doing everything perfectly. I'm not, and it's okay. I don't have to lie. I don't have to exaggerate anymore because I'm free on the inside. Even though my outside circumstances inhibit me at this moment. Why? And it's so hard. Do we have to live in a world like this? Why these things? We are called to be the salt. Go back, even if you change slowly. And yes, it's not just about the inside, but if I'm free, I can take on the system, I can take on the people, I can take on the laws to bring about the change. But the big change is the change of the heart that should happen. So where are you today? Perhaps you're in a desert. Here's the good news. God is looking at you. Right at this moment, He's looking at you. Look at the one who looks at you. He's looking with love. He's saying something with you, to you. Listen to it. Listen to it. The country that we're in at the moment, with all the violence, with the pandemic, God looks at us. And He's sending us back into this situation. He says, be the salt. Be the salt. Let's be part of a company of people that are willing to live the life. Let's make it our business to share the good news so that our hearts can change. So that the place that we live from can change. So we can change systems and the place we are living in. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that you're looking at us. Thank you that you see us. Thank you for the wonderful things you're telling us. Help us to accept it, to believe it, to live with you, and to be the salt. In the name of Jesus, amen.
I will be the ring of fire around you, and I will be the glory in your midst. I will be the ring of fire around you, and I will be the glory in your midst, and the power of my presence to your knees, and I will lift you up again, for I'm the God who sees. I'm the God who sees.
May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the community of the Holy Spirit be with you. Amen.